The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Well, we have reached the bye week. An early one, but it felt like it took a while to get there, frankly, just the way the team has been playing recently. But let's take a big picture look at the Bills, Lance, just kind of state of things as we look. We'll talk offense, defense, and kind of look forward as well. But let's start with the offense, because I think there's more questions there than maybe we were expecting at this point in the season.
Yeah, it was startling to see them, I think, and that's, for lack of a better way of putting it, against the Patriots and especially the Falcons, just how badly they struggled. And there's so many different ways you can analyze this. I think it's raised questions about whether their receivers can get open, how often or how much they're using James Cook, you know, Josh Allen, some of the mistakes he's made these last two games. But really, the thing that stood out to me the most, Catherine, is just Sean McDermott hasn't been happy with the play calling.
Yes.
And he was open about that after the Patriots game. He was open about it again after the Falcons game. And as Joe Brady put it, when he spoke to reporters on Tuesday afternoon, they've got to be a lot better. They have to use the bye week to accomplish that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to look at during it. You know, it's such a quick turnaround for some of these games during the season, but their plan is to fully dissect basically everything they've done up until this point over the bye and see what's working and some obvious things that are not. You know, some of those play calls, I would maybe lean towards the Sean McDermott camp of getting a little too cute with things. Joe Brady has pushed back on that idea, saying they need to have those things in their repertoire to be able to keep teams on their toes, which I understand as well. But the problem is they're not working right now.
Yeah, I mean, those end arounds, I found at least three of them this season. One was Khalil Shakir on 3rd-and-1, I believe it was, earlier in the year. He lost a yard. There was a Dawson Knox one. It was a fumble.
Yep.
There was one on Monday night to Elijah Moore, another fumble. So I understand so much of this offense, what made them so successful last season in particular, was that misdirection. Was a lot of the shifts and motions that not only expose what the defense is doing, but also keeps them and has some layer of unpredictability. But they've looked predictable at this point in the season. And part of that is their resistance to not use James Cook on 3rd down. I'm curious to see if that changes at all, because on 3rd-and-1, you would think, yeah, it's a pretty good running back with a good offensive line.
Yeah.
Maybe you try it. I know there has been some times where he's been stopped in those situations earlier this season, but yeah, the offensive line I don't think has played all that well the last two games. I mean, Spencer Brown missed that Saints game, so there were some issues in that one as well. But they need to get healthy. This bye week's a big part of it. I mean, Connor McGovern got banged up again in that game in Atlanta. That's 2 weeks in a row that he's dealt with an injury. You know, Deion Dawkins, he came out and said it pretty bluntly, like, we weren't good enough. And that unit is the foundation of their offense. And yes, Josh Allen's the reigning MVP, but they need to block for him much better than they did in the second half.
Yeah, I think you look at his sack totals this year, he's already up to, what is it, 12, if off the top of my head?
Yeah, I think it's 12 at this point.
Yeah,
so he's almost at his total from all of last season.
100%, and that's 6 games in. You know, that's so unusual. So I think there's just a lot to figure out there. I'm curious with Joe Brady if he's holding back stuff for later in the season. You know, I think that's been a point of discussion a little bit of like, oh, maybe you're saving up stuff for the playoffs, trying not to show things, but it's... Again, it boils down to it's not working what they're doing necessarily. They just looked really tepid on offense against the Falcons.
Yeah, I understand. You always hear the reminder from players and coaches, it's a week-to-week league.
Yes.
So their game plan is going to be predicated on who they're facing. Like earlier in the season, for example, against the Jets and the Dolphins, they knew these teams stink against the run, so let's run the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Well, the last couple of opponents in particular have been better against the run, so they've tried to lean into the pass. But the problem, Catherine, has been it was more so protection against Atlanta, but they don't have any receivers right now that make teams hesitant to blitz as often as the Falcons did.
Yes.
They challenged Josh Allen and those receivers to make plays, and some of it was timing, but a lot of it, in my opinion, was there's just nobody on the outside right now who's going to keep defenses honest, and they need Keon Coleman to be that guy.
Yeah, I think, you know, he splashed early in the season and we're like, oh, this is the year he's doing it. And it's been a little up and down since then. I think consistency is what we need from him, on top of just like the big plays in general. Do that week after week. And then, you know, we're seeing that jump if that happens.
Yeah, Joe Brady came out and said there were opportunities. Like once he looked at the film, the Keon Coleman could have made plays. He didn't. You know, I think some of it is they keep forcing that back shoulder throw to him near the sideline when he has single coverage, and because he's a bigger guy and you think you could make that play. It's not an easy play to make. It's a low percentage throw. So in what other ways can they try to get him involved? They tried screens. He dropped one against the Ravens. Yeah. I think he dropped another one against the Jets, if I'm not mistaken. So you're right. To me, it's Keon Coleman as a talent, but the consistency is still missing on the field. Young player. He's not even 23 years old yet.
Yeah.
He had three offense coordinators in 3 years because he transferred from Michigan State to Florida State. So that's another – he's a young player who's growing. So somebody else has to step up. Khalil Shakir has been really good, but he does his damage on more of the underneath stuff.
Yes.
And teams, they can try to account for that and challenge you to throw the ball downfield, which teams have done. And, yeah, Joshua Palmer did it on the first play, offensive play of the game in Atlanta, and then he got hurt. So who else is going to step up in that group, especially if Dalton Kincaid misses another game, because he has been the person that Josh Allen has gone to when nobody else is really getting open or that's what the defense is giving them.
Yeah, I think that Kincaid injury shows how glaring or, you know, how much he means to this offense of just what are they able to do without him or not do without him on the field. And it looked a little rough out there.
Yeah, and again, like at the start of the season, you look at the schedule and you think, oh, the Bills have it pretty easy here. But in the coming weeks, like even the Panthers have a defense that can give you a lot of problems. You've got the Chiefs. Later in the season, it's Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Miami, we'll see if they do what they do at the trade deadline. If they get weaker, they're probably going to get weaker since they're not a very good team. They're going to be selling pieces. But Houston's good, so they're going to be challenged. And I know that Joe Brady's been very defensive of that receiving group, and not all of it's on them, but they need somebody to get open. And it's just going to continue to raise questions about this offense. I think that group overall is going to be fine, but this is a big bye week because, as Joe Brady reminded us on Tuesday, that this offense didn't really hit its stride last season until they faced Seattle. Reinforcements are on the way, Catherine.
Yes.
For this Bills defense in particular, you got Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi coming back from their suspensions. That's pretty important, especially with Daquan Jones dealing with the calf injury.
100%.
But you still have injuries are still a thing. Terrell Bernard's got that ankle that he hurt in that game, and his absence became pretty glaring in that second half, I thought. You know, Sean McDermott pointed out that, you know, there's a miscommunication because Bernard was on the field to make the call, and it's challenging when you're missing somebody who's kind of the quarterback of your defense. So they got to get healthy. And this bye week, as much as you can debate whether it's too soon, whether you have it now, later in the year, that is a big part of this, right?
Yeah, I mean, the timing works out in that sense of they are so banged up. But it is interesting to just, you know, we've talked about this week after week how the defense is going to look different after the bye of just who they even have on the roster. Last we heard from Sean McDermott, they could open up the practice window for Maxwell Harrison, but Sean McDermott was still very like, let's keep our expectations in check. You know, he's missed a ton of time. He's a rookie. Let's not, you know. Without saying it, he's basically saying, let's not act like he's going to save the defense just the moment he gets there, because he won't.
Yeah.
You know, there's bigger problems.
Yeah, and they have once they do open it, they have 21 days to make that decision, so I doubt we'd see him against the Panthers at the earliest. I would think it would be the Chiefs game, but what his role would be or what that would look like remains to be seen. But there's several players on this defense, Catherine, that need to be better, and the one that stands out to me the most, and he came out and said it unprovoked to me after the game in Atlanta, is Greg Rousseau.
Yeah.
When he's been really good, he's been really good, but the inconsistency, the slow starts, his penalty, I mean, they forced a fumble on the first play of the game, and it got taken away because Greg lined up offside. So he can be really good. He's shown it. The consistency is still the piece that's missing, and he has admitted that himself.
Yeah, I think you went to talk to him about his blocked field goal, a huge play, and he turned around and was like, no, let's just talk about the penalty, right?
Yeah, he was upset. He was still upset about it after the game because it was such a big moment, and it's not as if he was able to make up for it during the game on defense. Like, that defensive line didn't create enough pressure. They didn't have the game that they wanted to have.
No, I think there's still questions at secondary as well, and that's something, you know, we were talking about before the season started. Just kind of looking at the safety play a little bit, like, are they doing enough? And
I'm surprised that Taylor Rapp is playing the way that he is. Like last season, he wasn't missing this many tackles. Yeah. He's missing a lot of tackles right now and taking bad angles. And in this defense, you can't have that. No. It's leading to some of these explosive runs with these two safeties missing tackles the way they are. They expected there to be growing pains with Cole Bishop, just given how little he played as a rookie, the time that he missed, especially in camp and this spring. But right now, it really, really makes you wonder how much longer they're going to keep going with this and how soon is it until we see Jordan Poyer in a regular role on that defense.
Yeah, we saw him when Bishop was dealing with cramps. So, you know, there was a moment where we all were like, why is Jordan Poyer in? Yeah. What's going on? Before we got the injury update, saw Cole walking to the locker room, in fact. But I think just kind of, you know, Jordan Poyer is in such an interesting position where sometimes when you talk to him, he's kind of like, oh, yeah, well, when I played, as if it's in the past. It's not in the past. He's on the field this Monday. Yeah.
No, and it's difficult to just pick on one group, too, because there's problems at all three levels of this defense. The linebackers, a big piece of it is injury. They don't have Matt Milano.
Yeah.
And that, you can't really understate his importance to that group, just how reliable he is. And you're seeing teams use more shifts and motions before the snap to try to get those linebackers out of position and keep them guessing and create some sort of indecisiveness. And they're getting gashed because of it. And as good as Deion Walker's been as a rookie defensive tackle, he is still making some of these rookie mistakes. And now that he's playing more snaps, it's really hurting them in certain situations, including that 81-yard run by Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I think when we talked to Sean McDermott about him, he, you know, you're like, oh, he had four tackles for loss, big splash plays from the rookie. And he's very quick to be like, yes, but there's things that he wants back and look at those too.
Yeah. There's times when he's doing the right things against those double teams, which he had one in the 81-yard run, but there's other times where he loses control. He gets pushed out of position. And then that's when you need your linebackers and safeties to make tackles. Well, they're not making tackles the way that this defense has done in the past. And the corners is going to be a big topic of conversation, especially after, you know, you look at what Drake London did last week, but also you look ahead at the receivers this team's going to be facing. This team's facing a lot of good receivers in the coming weeks, Catherine. I thought that, you know, in the second half, they had Christian Benford follow Drake London more often. Curious to see if we see that, having Benford on that number one receiver. But with Harrison possibly coming back, some of the inconsistency, not only from Tre'Davious White, but Christian Benford, like the corners have to be better in a lot of ways. And that includes the nickels and Taron Johnson.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by Taron's game against the Falcons because he's so consistent. But there were just some missed opportunities there that seemed a little uncharacteristic for someone who's been such a cornerstone of this defense. We've talked about how this bye week comes at an interesting time just to reset after two straight losses. But then they've got 11 games after that. You know, it's a long season and, you know, a lot of big opponents looming there. Just kind of where do the Bills go from here?
There's a lot to fix, which I'm sure from the coach's perspective is probably a little overwhelming because it's just the types of problems they're having. Again, like I think the offense is going to be fine. They have Josh Allen. They have that offensive line. It's probably just rediscovering their identity a little bit and deciding what they want to do. But this defense, Catherine, like it really raises the question, like, how much can they possibly improve?
Yeah.
Because it's not like they're just allowing, you know, big runs. It's the passes is starting to hurt them too, especially the last 2 weeks in particular when they faced Drake May and Michael Penix. Penix had a pretty rough second half, but, you know, they couldn't cover Drake London.
Yeah.
So with the opponents that are coming up, and I think with the trade deadline is, it seems like it's more of a topic in the NFL this season.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just to give people something to talk about because a lot of times we don't see that many trades, but allegedly it's going to be a very busy trade deadline.
Yeah.
Brandon Bean's made a move every year. Razzle Douglas has probably been the most impactful of those additions, but how much can you really expect from somebody who's coming in midseason, especially on defense where there's just a lot of responsibility. There's a reason why Sean McDermott likes to bring in people that he has familiarity with, people who have familiarity with the defense.
Yeah, I think just kind of what was interesting to me about that Falcons game, you mentioned how Penix had a slower second half.
Yeah.
The defense made adjustments at half, but when we talked to Bobby Babich, he was kind of like, it was nothing that groundbreaking. It was just reminding guys of the basics of the game. And some of that is good in a sense that you know what to clean up and you can do it. But I think when you look at what the team's going to examine over the bye week, that gets a little harder, where it's not like they need to necessarily do earth-shattering stuff to this team. They just need to clean up.
Yeah, you talk to players, they're quick to remind you. It's like, we're just not making plays that we should be making.
Yeah.
Guys aren't in their gaps. Guys aren't tackling. Also, it's almost fundamentals, which is a little – it's unusual for a
yes.
team that's so accustomed to being disciplined and has that reputation that they don't beat themselves. Well, they're starting to do – it's 29 penalties accepted over the last three games. We haven't really seen that from the Bills since early in Sean McDermott's tenure. So there's so much – there's so many little areas that are contributing to their issues. It's penalties on offense, defense, special teams, just really unnecessary stuff that – getting back to the basics or the fundamentals seems to just be that phrase that we're hearing every week we're talking to these coaches, but how do they get these players to actually do it?
I know. Sometimes you hear fundamentals and it's kind of a cliche from coaches
yeah.
where they're just like, oh, we're just going to say that to not give away a game plan. But at this state, it's kind of like, no, that is what they need to clean up.
Yeah, depth is an issue, and they knew that that would be the case, especially up front earlier in the year. Well, now Michael Hoyt's coming back. Now
yes.
Larry Ogunjobi's coming back. You know, I'm sure they're extremely thankful that Matt Milano is currently considered day-to-day. We'll
yes.
see, because with that pectoral injury, he's already aggravated it once. How cautious are they going to be? But they need to get healthy on that side of the ball if they're going to have a chance to improve and be the defense that they think they are. Because, you know, coming into the year, the turnover margin was such a big topic of discussion, because this team get turnovers at the rate that they did, well, not only last season, but they've ranked top five in each of the last 5 years. So can they keep that up? They haven't been able to. And
yeah.
you heard guys, everyone, it seemed like on that side of the ball that spoke after the game, they kept bringing up, like, zero turnovers is unacceptable, and we can't have that.
No, it's the defense has been so predicated on that of, you know, not – I'm trying to figure out the right way to phrase this. They're not, like, waiting around for it to happen and just being like, we can coast until we get a takeaway and that'll be huge. But they were almost expecting them in the sense of, we've done it for so long, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's the whole – this defense, and they've bent. Like, last year there were times where they bent, but they didn't break
yes.
in so many times. And we saw it earlier in this season – you know, whether that be the Ravens game or even the New Orleans one and Miami, where they get the turnover in that second half, and that's what kind of gets them back on track and allows them to hold on for a win. That didn't happen in Atlanta. Didn't happen really against the Patriots either. So how do they turn that piece of it around? Maxwell Harrison, I know that tempering expectations has been such a big part of the narrative since he got hurt, but they drafted him to be that kind of a guy, to be a playmaker in that secondary. They just need more of them, especially if Terrell Bernard misses more time, because he's also been somebody who's made those splash plays.
Yeah, the ball just finds him, it
yeah.
feels like.
Yeah, and they think that Cole Bishop can become that guy, but when you're missing that many tackles and you're getting gashed on, you know, I think so much we keep hearing about the pass rush. I think people are concerned about that. But when you're allowing a 6-yard run on first down, your pass rushers can't get involved in the game. And Joey Bosa was really frustrated with that fact. He's like, you know, we're allowing these big runs. Our pass rushers, we can't rush the way that we need to or we want to when we're allowing runs like we are.
A lot to clean up.
Yeah, a lot to clean up. Again, like, they've got Josh Allen. They've got this bye week in, you know, now that we're amidst it.
Yeah.
We know that it came at the right time. So it's all about how they respond. There's a lot of football to be played. They need to get healthy. It's going to be very interesting, though. We'll have you covered every step of the way, Catherine, right? We'll be back next week to preview that Panthers game. As much as that seemed like a cupcake at the start of the year,
yeah.
there's a lot of interesting parts of that game as well. So she's Catherine Fitzgerald. I'm Lance Lysowski. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks for having us.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.